Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
On Twitter, at Rich Scioli. I appreciate you being here. And I want to welcome back to the show, though. I have a guest coming up right now. We'll come back to the big story on Georgia. But Chris Chamalier is a writer for the Washington Examiner. He's a Philly guy. And he had a lot to say about the story about the Eagles and Kamala Harris. Chris, welcome back to the show, my friend. How you doing?
No problem. Thanks for having me, Rich. Glad to be here.
So you put out an article today in the Washington Examiner about this story. Philadelphia government doesn't know how the posters showing the Eagles supporting Harris appeared. Now, just give us some context here. They appeared on bus depots, right? Like little bus shelters?
Yeah, like the bus shelters, the bus stops that many people throughout Center City are familiar with. The one I saw particularly was on University of Pennsylvania's campus at 34th and Walnut. I was walking my dog on, Labor Day, and I noticed them, and I kind of wrote my first article then and did a follow-up with it coming in today. Contacted the Eagles, SEPTA, and the City of Philadelphia. Obviously, the Eagles, by now, everyone knows the Eagles put out the statement on X that they were not aware of it, and following up with the other entities, SEPTA and Philadelphia, the City of Philadelphia, they also said the same thing. So I, in my kind of like contacts with them, I just was trying to figure out what happened, and no one knew what happened. They all kind of said it was just this illegal incident, and they couldn't provide any knowledge of how it happened. So, but I think it's kind of weird because mainly with the City of Philadelphia, there's a, you know, there's cameras all over the city, security cameras. And right. I know specifically there's one at 34th and Walnut. I mean, I spent 4 years there for school, so I know there's like this one pole that has it. So it just seems odd that as of the 48 hours after it happened, there hasn't been any update. I contacted the city this morning on trying to find out if there was any update, and they didn't even answer as of yet. So, but there should be by this point now something, you know, more known than there is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. We should know more, and that's the problem here, Chris. Is that I'm worried that this is just going to get brushed under the rug intentionally on purpose. And
agreed.
It doesn't need to, because if there's a camera on that bus shelter, then we should be able to see who, because in order to put the poster up, just so everybody understands, in order to put this poster up, and it was a very well produced, that's why it looks so real, and it's why a lot of people think it may have been real. I don't think the Eagles had anything to do with it, because I think if they were going to do this, they would have gone big or gone, you know, go big or
yeah.
Go home.
Agreed.
But this presumably a person or persons puts this together and then goes there in order to get these posters into these bus shelter displays. It involves a complex procedure. It's not just as simple as just like, you know, taping them up, right?
Right. Yeah. They're in an enclosed glass case at the bus stop. And in the cases, I guess you could call it a case is the proper term, but it's like, you know, 6 feet tall and it's pretty large thing. So, and there's a key, from what I understand, that opens these things. So it's not like you said, it's not like you're someone just taped a poster on a bus shelter. I mean, this is kind of like have to be open, put in a pretty you know, professional way. So there had to be something where either someone broke into it, or, you know, I don't even know how it happened, and no one seems to know how it happened. But the point that you made earlier, as I agree with, is that, like, if there, one, I don't think the Eagles did it, like you said, but there is, I do feel that, especially with it being a Kamala Harris poster, that this is going to just be, you know, swept under the rug and you know, forgotten about. Or if there is an investigation, you know, it won't happen until, you know, this is long out of the news cycle and people don't care about it anymore. So, but at this point, given that it's been this long, obviously this isn't the biggest crime or the most serious crime that's occurring in Philadelphia. So there's that. But there should be some kind of video evidence by now produced of what happened, at least to the one on 34th Street. I mean, you would just think there's a camera. You know, you could look at the camera. It doesn't probably take long. And there should be something to produce, and there hasn't now. And that's kind of, I want to say concerning, but, you know, it just kind of is. It's weird that nothing has been updated yet, and the city hasn't, you know, made any public comment giving an update.
Well, it's not weird in the sense, Chris Tremaglia, of what you just said. And Chris Tremaglia is with me. He writes for the Washington Examiner. You can follow him on social media, and you should, at Chris W. Tremo. Is that they don't want an investigation into this because whoever did it is on their side, was helping their cause, and they don't want this person to get in trouble. Now, when you called the Philadelphia Eagles, did they say anything about they're looking to have the person prosecuted or they want financial compensation for the use of their image? I mean, if I went out there and I said that I was the official conservative talk show host of the Philadelphia Eagles and I put their branding up and everything like this, it would create such an S storm. I'd probably lose my job over it. The Eagles would probably be really, really super ticked off. Do they care the fact that somebody just took their trademark and said this is the official candidate? Are they worried about this?
The only thing they said, I emailed them when it happened, and I only communicated them with via email, and the only thing they said was, like, here is our statement that we posted on Twitter. I did some follow-up asking pretty much exactly what you asked, you know, is there anything else you know? Are you upset? Are you planning any action? And they just said, our official response is the statement we put out. And that was the only thing they said. I initially contacted SEPTA because I thought they might be involved or know somehow, some not involved, but like know, so have some knowledge of what happened. And they said this was actually being handled by the city of Philadelphia. They're the ones responsible for the bus shelter. So I do want to say, though, I do agree with you that the fact that it's the reason why there's not so much like an aggressive pursuit of this or, you know, a vigorous trying to find out what happened is because it was of Kamala Harris. I don't have any evidence of this at all, but I wholeheartedly believe that if this was a poster of Donald Trump wearing Eagles gear and it was officially saying, like, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles are the supporting Donald Trump, the response would be completely different. There would be much more effort and response and active in pursuing about who actually did this. So the fact that nothing or they're seemingly trying to sweep this under the rug with no one saying anything, no one expressing outrage. The only group that actually expressed any outrage was the company responsible for the advertising in the actual bus shelters. Intersection is the company's name. They said in their official statement that this was an act of vandalism, but it's also an act of theft because whoever did it took down the posters that were there, which was paid advertising. And, you know, they're basically the ones who have expressed the most outrage. And they're basically trying to the last they said was that they're waiting to see what's going to happen with any possible investigation and the police, and they will cooperate. But other than that, no one's really kind of expressed outrage or kind of looking to try to find out who did it or speaking in an aggressive nature of like trying to find out who did the whole thing. So, but yeah, and that's where we stand now. And I, again, going to, not to repeat myself, but agreeing with you, if this was like, you know, Donald Trump or some Republican thing, the whole response would be different. You know, they would be looking into it, trying to find out who did it, condemning it, you know, vigorously and such and all that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt. And so the last thing I want to ask you, Chris, is what about this idea that this was some local Philadelphia graphic artist who's made other similar creative displays over the years? I mean, this seems to be, you could probably figure out who this is between the camera and just looking at the work and saying like, hey, this looks like the work of this other person. Probably identify the person fairly quickly if you wanted to. So is there any other developments around this idea that this was this graphic artist?
No, just basically what you said. The graphic artist has put up posters throughout the city, images that are sympathetic to left-wing causes and, you know, Democratic causes. And they've been in bus shelters and public transportation centers before. So, like you said, there seems to be a pattern here. You don't have to be the most knowledgeable investigator would seem to kind of put two and two together and kind of come up with something. I mean, there seems to be a trail here that's purposely either being ignored, trying to be swept under the rug, or not aggressively pursued. That is kind of puzzling as to why. And if I had to guess, I would agree with what you said, that it is basically being done because they're sympathetic and probably believe, you know, the messaging of the painting. Whereas, as I mentioned before, if it was Donald Trump, you know, all hell would break loose.
They'd be losing their friggin' minds over it. And you'd have people saying this is election interference, and they'd want prosecutions, and that you're putting out disinformation. and misinformation. I mean, I heard the Attorney General today talk about disinformation as being the greatest threat to our election integrity. And we know that the Department of Justice has prosecuted people, at least two individuals, one for saying text the word Hillary and you can vote, and the other guy for saying that the election was, you know, go vote tomorrow on Wednesday. So, and they both got charged. They got prosecuted. So whoever did this, theoretically, you could argue is violating some sort of federal election integrity law and should be prosecuted for putting out election misinformation. I'm not saying I want that to occur here, but you certainly could make that argument based on what this Department of Justice has done.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I don't know if that I would, as you said, would call for that as well as the ultimate resolution. But there does seem to be definite inconsistencies and double standards and inconsistent standards on when something like this is done by a person who is sympathetic to left-wing causes, whereas it's done on the opposite side of the political spectrum. So, I definitely think that would have happened, or there would be a more aggressive investigation into what's going on. And that's not right. This should be investigated, whether it was Donald Trump or, Kamala Harris in the graphics. And, the thing is, like, this was vandalism. It was, illegal, and they should get to the bottom of it and not be so cavalier or, nonchalant on the investigation and as to what's going on.
Yeah. And on that point, too, if it was Trump, we would hear that it was the Russians who came and actually did it. The Russians literally came, crossed the Delaware like Washington, but in the other direction, and put up the posters themselves. Chris Chamalier, always appreciate it, my friend. Follow him on Twitter at Chris W. Trimo and check out his work at the Washington Examiner. He's a Philly guy. He's doing really great. So we appreciate your time today, buddy. Thank you.
No problem, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. The other big story of the day today is brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. As part of the nonsense today about Russian collusion, the Department of Justice also announced indictments today around a number of influencers on social media who happen to be I don't want to say conservative, but right-leaning, I guess. I don't know. Benny Johnson, Tim Pool, Dave Rubin, their startup. The Department of Justice alleges that it is a secret Russian influence campaign. Now, Benny Johnson, I know, at least put out a statement today saying that, I'll see if I can read it to you. He said, a statement on the leaked DOJ indictment today, a year ago, a media startup pitched my company to provide content as an independent contractor. Our lawyers negotiated a standard arm's length deal, which was later terminated. We are disturbed by the allegations in today's indictment, which make clear that myself and other influencers were victims in this alleged scheme. My lawyers will handle anyone who states or suggests otherwise. According to the article from the Daily Dot, they say that these famous pro-Trump commentators may have been unwittingly duped. So a media startup from luminaries such as Tim Pool, Benny Johnson, Dave Rubin, Lauren Southern, and others secretly received funding from Russia, according to the federal indictment and the article. The Department of Justice charged two employees of Russia today with violations of the Foreign Agents Registration Act, FARA, something that Hunter Biden should absolutely be charged with at some point, saying they participated in a $10 million scheme to create and distribute content to U.S. audiences with hidden Russian government messaging. The press release from the DOJ says that Russian state broadcaster RT, Russia Today, orchestrated a massive scheme to influence the American public by secretly planting and financing a content creation company on U.S. soil. Their company, Tenet Media, is not listed in the indictment. Context clues reveal it most likely is Tenet Media. And since Benny Johnson responded and he's part of it, you can make that assumption. On its website, U.S. Company One describes itself as a network of heterodox commentators that focus on Western political and cultural issues and identifies six commentators, including Commentator One and Commentator Two, as its talent. On YouTube, Tenet Media describes itself as a network of heterodox commentators that focus on Western political and cultural issues. Its homepage lists six commentators, Ruben Johnson, Poole, Southern, as well as Taylor Hansen and Matt Christensen. Indictment also highlights that one of the founders of the group, Lauren Chen, worked to deceive the commentators about the funding of the group, according to the indictment. Chen is listed as a contributor on Russia Today's site, which is mentioned in the indictment. Now, I, I think the big thing here to think about is that by going out there and pushing that these people are associated with Russia, it's obviously an attempt to minimize their reach and minimize their ability to impact and influence people, and also to make people run from them. And for example, I don't know these guys personally, but Benny Johnson was at the Republican National Convention, and I should say he was at the DNC in Chicago. And I know that he was doing interviews because we were all in the same general area outside the Trump press conferences every day. And so the same people that we were interviewing, he was interviewing. They want to make people shy away from him by making people think that he's involved with Russia. But if you go deeper into the article in the indictment, you find out that really what these guys did is they got, if anything, they got duped. And that they did not know that the backgrounds and intentions of the two Russians and that the funding for the company came through a Canadian shell company from a front man named Edward Grigorian, who did not exist. And despite the fact that Google searches for Edward Grigorian did not return any hits, the two commentators went through with the deal, the indictment alleges, after receiving a resume. In it, however, they did note the fake founder may have come across as too woke, flagging a commitment to social justice found in his profile, but they still went along with the deal to create content. While the news came as a shock, when the company launched, numerous posters were initially suspicious. Who was funding this? This is like the Avengers of Online Grifters, wrote somebody. Tim Pool said of the indictment that if the indictment was true, he was a victim and that he and other personalities were deceived. But again, the goal of the Department of Justice here is to imply And they all have big social media followings. I mean, I think Poole himself is like over 1 million. I think Ben Johnson is like 2 million or something like that. So bottom line is that by indicting the people that were looking to do business with them, you can link to them by guilt of association and make people think that they're all Russian actors. It's the same lie they tell about Tulsi Gabbard. You know, Axios wrote this piece after I interviewed her, so I couldn't get a chance to interview her. From my vacation, by the way, for the record. Always working for you. And they said that she had gone to Russia. And that's a lie. She's never been to Russia. It's a lie. But they lie about it. They lie all the time, these people. It's what they do. So that's another piece to the story. And obviously, Merrick Garland trying to make everybody very, very afraid of the Russians. The Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeal. All right, let me give you the latest on Georgia when I come back and the other news of the day. So don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Justin?
Yeah, I've enjoyed myself a bit of Hardee's every now and again.
Damn good. I'm a fan. Hardee's is one of my favorite fast food. You don't see them enough. That's the problem.
Nah. You got to go like a little further.
Got to go a little further south. Yeah. Hardee's is damn good, though. Biscuits, Justin. You hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Biscuits. Yeah. You can tell it's dinner time. This always happens on the show. Like 6:30, I'm starving. Welcome to the CEO of Hardee's is going to be on the show tomorrow, so that's pretty cool. I'm going to ask you about the Frisco breakfast sandwich. I lived on that when I was at University of Maryland. We used to have a Hardee's in the student center back in the day, and I think I ate that thing every day. Contributed to my freshman 45 pounds.
DeSantis. 45? I don't think that's right. Isn't it 15?
Freshman 45, DeSantis. Just making sure you're paying attention.
Stretching the limits there.
Not posting a podcast of the wrong day.
I'm posting the right podcast today.
Well,
I think I am. I guess we'll get feedback.
I guess we'll find out when people can't hear the show later.
I'm pretty confident I got the right show today.
Yeah, well, why don't we give out tickets? People have been very patient. Patiently waiting. So if you're calling number 12 right now at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, you will get a pair of tickets to see Donald Trump Jr. at the Scottish Rite Auditorium in Collingswood, New Jersey on September 12th, hosted by Dom Giordano. Each ticket includes a copy of Letters to Trump. You can get your tickets on sale at 1210WPHT.com. All right? I want to play a quick clip for you. This is the sheriff today in Georgia talking about how the school resource officer confronted the shooter at the Appalachia High School. Take a listen.
That was, how did it go down? What exactly happened first?
Obviously, the shooter was armed, and our school resource officer engaged him. And the shooter quickly realized that if he did not give up, that it would end with an OIS. or an officer-involved shooting. He gave up, got on the ground, and the deputy took him into custody.
Sheriff, any idea how the weapon got inside the school? And was there any warning that this was going to happen?
Not that I'm aware of. Again, very early.
Well, it's the point that a lot of us have made, which is that we know that a good guy with a gun stops a bad guy with a gun. And thank God there was a school resource officer there to confront the shooter. That doesn't obviously change the fact that we've had two dead students and two dead teachers, but it just could have been a whole lot worse. It could have been a whole lot worse. So I'm very happy that there was somebody there at least to confront. And I'm happy that there's a school resource officer in my kid's school. Kamala Harris at one point wanted to take cops out of schools because she talked about racial disparities and whatever other nonsense she was pushing. I'm sorry, but the only way you're going to deal with evil and crazy, and we don't know the motivations of this kid, he's 14 years old, the shooter, will be charged as an adult, will be charged with murder. But the kid was messed up, that's obvious. And at the intersection of evil and crazy, I don't know which one outweighs the other. We don't know that for sure until we obviously do an in-depth investigation. But the only way to stop somebody like this is somebody with a gun. I hate to say it. The left lives in this fantasy world where you can keep people from getting guns, but unfortunately, all you wind up doing is keeping law-abiding citizens from getting the guns. You don't keep the bad guys or the crazy people from getting them, and that's just the reality. I wish it wasn't. I really do. I wish it wasn't the case. I wish there was a way you could just snap your fingers and keep guns out of the hands of really bad people. I think 100% of us would sign up for that. But, you know, I'd also love to eat pizza three meals a day and or Hardee's three meals a day. I mean, it's just I live in the real world, not the world I want to live in. I live in the real world. And reality is there's bad people. They have access to firearms. You can blame the Second Amendment. You can blame the NRA. You can blame whoever you want. But it just doesn't change anything. It doesn't change the fact that they have them. They can get them. They have access to them. And until such time as a giant magnet comes down from the sky and is able to scoop up all the guns like some leftist fantasy, which I would not endorse, by the way, because I think it's important for individuals, citizens, to be armed to prevent tyranny from their government. That's why we have the Second Amendment. So I'm a proponent of it for that reason. And also because you have a fundamental right, I would argue responsibility, to defend yourself and your family. Interestingly enough, a judge ruled that a ban on firearms on public transportation is unconstitutional because you have a right to protect yourself and your family outside the home and on public transportation. Of course you do. There are bad, crazy people with guns on trains and buses. But my point is that even if you had a giant magnet that could suck every gun up into the sky, which is impossible, but until such time as such a thing happens, and I would not endorse that because, again, that would mean that we citizens would not be able to prevent tyranny. You got to deal with bad, crazy people. And the only way to do that is to ensure that a good person is able to stop them. And in this particular case, it was a good school resource officer who was able to confront him. Thank God. But here's Kamala Harris and what she said. Matt, are you able to play that or are you screening calls? I'm sorry. Okay, this is what she said a few years ago. It's a little contrast with what she said today and then what she said in 2019.
We've got to stop it. And we have to end this epidemic of gun violence in our country once and for all. You know, it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way.
And then also, again, what we need to do about taking, demilitarizing our schools and taking police officers out of schools. We need to deal with the reality and speak the truth about the inequities around school discipline.
The inequities around school discipline. See, the inequities. So this is how the left thinks. This is how the left thinks about things, and they think about those. But I'm just happy. If it were up to me, every school would have a cop with a gun, and not just for reasons like this. I mean, again, statistically speaking, it's very rare that this happens, and that's a good thing. Thank God. It is very rare. For the most part, your kids are going to be very safe. You as a parent, have it. It should keep you up at night. It should not keep you up at night. That's the good news. Your kids, unfortunately, have, statistically speaking, a higher chance of getting into a very fatal accident behind the wheel of a car than they do of this. And that's just the reality. But It doesn't mean that on a day like today, as a parent, you don't want to just hug your kids even tighter and think to yourself, like, thank God. And so in my case, I think, thank God our school has a cop with a gun. But there's other reasons for that, too. And that is that I think it's good for kids to be around cops. I'm the son of a cop, as you know. And I think that it's important for kids to understand that cops are there to help them and protect them and keep them safe. That's why I don't want school cops to bust kids for, like, my buddy Kirk he's a school resource officer, Kirk Griffin, a great guy up in North Jersey. And he's a school resource officer. And he's not there to bust kids for food fights and bust kids for doing all the things we did as kids. He's there to look out for them and make sure that they're safe. And that's good. And then he gets to know the kids. I mean, he plays basketball with the kids. He knows who they are. They know who he is. And that matters a lot. It becomes a very special relationship. It's a good thing. It's a very positive thing. Because then those students will then become adults who respect the police and understand their role and the need for them. And then they won't sign on to stupid policies like defunding them, for example. So, anyway. Let me go to our winner. Joseph is in Vineland. Joseph, how are you, my friend?
Hello, how are you? This is Father Joe Gagnon. How are you doing?
Hey, Father Joe, how are you doing?
Doing good, thank you.
All right, you won the tickets to see Donald Trump Jr. Hello? Can you hear me? I don't think he can hear me. All right, well, he won the tickets. I hope he got his information.
I got it. Yeah, he's good to go.
All right, good. Excellent. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zioli. All right, how about this? Why don't we play this clip, Matt? This is Daniel Craig, who played James Bond, was asked the question if there could be a gay James Bond. A gay James Bond. That's a James Bond who likes other guys. He was asked this question.
Seems like it would fundamentally change the character.
It certainly changes fashion tips. This is for Queer in Venice. What is Queer in Venice? What is that?
It's a movie. That
a movie
Daniel
called
Craig
Queer?
Is starring in, yeah.
And he plays a gay guy in it?
I think he does, yeah.
So they have this movie premiere, this press conference for it in Venice, and Daniel Craig and Luca Guadagnino, who's the director, I believe, discuss James Bond's sexuality. Daniel Craig does not answer the question. He, of course, played James Bond in, what, four movies, right? Was it three
five.
Or four? Five movies?
Yeah.
Man, Casino Royale was the best.
I agree.
By far the best of the James Bond movies that Daniel Craig played James Bond.
No Time
Bond.
To Die is pretty close, though. The last one?
Eh.
What?
Eh.
That's a very good movie.
Eh. It's a little... Eh.
Great, great ending.
I'll be honest. My favorite was Skyfall out of all the five.
Oh, stop it.
Good one, too. I mean, the only weak one in the Craig series is Quantum of Solace. The others are all excellent.
Yeah, but Casino Royale's the best.
I agree. I think that's
by far.
Arguably the best of all the Bond films.
Well, now you're getting into very, very controversial areas here because you're usurping Sean Connery. Can't do that. Sacred.
I think Dr. No's up there. I think From Russia with Love is up there. And I think Casino Royale is up there.
What's the one you like, Justin?
Skyfall.
Skyfall. That's not bad, actually, Skyfall.
That's a good one.
Yeah, like Casino Royale is probably like number two on my list. Like, it's a great movie, but I just think I like the story more in Skyfall. Like, exploring his backstory more than I did Casino Royale.
Interesting. Interesting.
You know which one's good? It doesn't get its due because George Lazenby is James Bond and he stinks. On Her Majesty's Secret Service. That also has a great twist ending.
Yeah, it does. You're right. I'm going to have to go rewatch that.
But Lazenby, not the greatest James Bond.
Not the greatest James Bond. Again, you're going down very controversial areas right now. When you start going down this road, inevitably opens up lots of different opinions and everybody thinks they're right on this. But can we all agree, in terms of the best James Bond villain, it's Goldfinger.
I like Jaws.
You like Jaws?
I agree with Goldfinger.
Goldfinger. Yeah. I mean, come on. Come on. Eh. I mean, he inspired Dr. Evil.
He's all right. What's he do? He doesn't do anything. He just collects gold.
Yeah, but...
That's not even that interesting.
Well, he inspired Goldmember, I guess. Yeah, you're right. He's not that interesting.
Jaws is, you know, a giant with metal teeth and he bites people. That's pretty cool.
That's true. That's a good point. Well, either way. What? What's so funny?
I just think it's interesting.
You just think it's interesting?
Yeah.
Those are some pretty good looking camels. I wish I had that clip right now, but I don't know where it is.
I hope it left when Henry left.
I don't think
he's the one who had access to it. I don't even know where it is.
Yeah.
Couldn't play it even if I wanted to.
We'll have to figure that out. I can probably find it, but I don't have time. All right, so a reporter asked Daniel Craig if there could be a gay James Bond, and this is what his reaction was. Cut 22.
Do you think there could be a gay James Bond?
I mean, guys, let's be adult in the room for a second.
He just took a sip of water and didn't answer the question. James Bond likes pussy galore, for example, as one of the Bond girls. You don't have to dump that. That's a
so
character.
Close to a dump.
That's a character in the movie who is a woman, is my point.
I know. Very close
that's
to a
dump. I didn't make up the character. Blame Ian Fleming. Don't blame me.
You're flirting with that dump button. You've done it a couple times today, Rich.
Fine. I'll stop. I got to take a break anyway. But one guy who never got to play James Bond, thank God, but he did come really close to ruining Batman, George Clooney. Loser, but he did get Biden to drop out of the race. He was part of the cabal, the coup d'etat against Joe Biden. He also spoke from Venice, Italy. And this is what George Clooney said about Joe Biden. Cut 19.
The person who should be applauded is the president who did the most selfless thing that anybody's done since George Washington. And that's true. And so anybody, all the machinations that got us there, that's all. None of that's going to be remembered. And it shouldn't be. What should be remembered is the selfless act of someone who, you know, it's very hard to let go of power.
Is it hard to let go of your bat nipples, Clooney? That's what I want to know. Huh? Is that hard? That's the question I have. Loser. All right. 855-8394. All right. Quick break. But let me tell you before I go about my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, because the reality is there you're not going to find a better dentist. But kids are back in school. Weather's getting warm, and guess what? Before you know it, it's going to be the holidays. Before you know it, you're going to be on Christmas cards, you're going to be at Christmas parties, holiday parties. So, stop putting off seeing a dentist. It's time for you to get that great smile you deserve. I'm telling you, now's the time to schedule your appointment with Dr. Mike Veneria. He's one of Mama Zioli's greatest finds, and as you know, my entire family goes to Dr. Mike. His level of care and commitment to dental excellence is unmatched. So, stop putting off seeing a dentist or getting that complex dental procedure done. If you schedule your appointment now, you'll be one step closer, smiling big at this year's holiday party. Taking care of your teeth is so important to your overall health, and you're not going to find anyone better than Dr. Mike Veneria. Dr. Mike and his staff make it so easy to have that beautiful, healthy smile. He's been named a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. He's respected among his peers as a master of dental implants. So reach out to Dr. Mike today with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Schedule your appointment or free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. Call 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or visit VeneriaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. And remember, he's my dentist. And the kids go to him, too. And yes, Mama Zioli discovered him for our family, but people have been going to him for years and years, and they love the great work of Dr. Mike. VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We learned a lot today about the nonsense efforts by Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice to use Russia collusion going into the 2024 election for a couple of reasons, but primarily the biggest one is so that they can weaponize social media regulation and do whatever they have to do in the future if they need to pull a Hunter Biden laptop story again. Remember, Russia did not interfere in the 2020 election or the 2016 election. I'm not saying that, like, stupid Russian bots didn't, but it was nothing of consequence. They want you to believe that. They want you to believe that Russia was able to hand Donald Trump the presidency. It's a lie. It's a lie. Of course, Russia, like every other bad actor across the country, wants to sow discontent, and I'm sure we do it too. It's not that big of a revelation, but were they able to actually influence the 2016 election? No. Has there been any evidence of that whatsoever? They didn't do it in 2020 either. But who did? the 51 former national security hacks who all signed the Hunter Biden laptop letter and said it was Russian disinformation. And you see, that's the point. By saying the boogeyman, Russia, is coming, then the next time they have to censor a story, they can turn around and say it's Russian disinformation. And if they need to censor people who have huge followings on social media and are pushing out Donald Trump content, well, they can say they're Russian bots, they're Russian actors, they're connected to Russia. And then they can destroy their credibility. And then also it accomplishes something else, too, which is the James Carville in the New York Times op-ed that he wrote basically said he wants Kamala Harris to do less of making Donald Trump out to be this boogeyman, this not boogeyman, that's not the word he used, but essentially this, I'd say, supervillain, and much more about an unserious, weird guy. But at the same time, you know that Carville's very happy the Department of Justice is turning around and saying that people like Vladimir Putin want Donald Trump to win. Why the hell would Putin want Trump to win? He goes into Crimea when Obama's president, and he goes into Ukraine when Biden's president. He doesn't do anything when Trump's president. Trump warns Angela Merkel and Europe to stop buying his natural gas, saying you're making the guy too powerful. Meanwhile, what is Europe doing right now? They're literally buying Putin's natural gas at record levels. Joe Biden has put on a ban of exports of U.S. liquid natural gas. He put a ban on it. Donald Trump and the person who wants to become president wants to ban fracking. Kamala Harris wants to. Putin would love that if we banned fracking in this country. Are you kidding me? That would be the biggest gift to Vladimir Putin. Why the hell would Vladimir Putin want Donald Trump to win? He'd want this idiot to win because she would ban fracking. And natural gas is a huge part of his economy. I think it was Dr. Victoria Coates who said it best when she said, Russia is a gas station. That's all they are. They're a gas station in Europe. So he doesn't want any competition. And that's what Trump would be. All right. Enjoy the rest of your night. I appreciate you listening. Thank you very much. Get the podcast. It'll be correct this time. Thank you for listening to it. And follow along on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Don't forget, Friday, live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We're going to be there. It's going to be a great show, a lot of fun. Want you to be part of it. 3 to 7 p.m. live in Cape May. You don't need a ticket. You don't need a reservation. And the show is free at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. Thank you.